Second Peter chapter 3. We're going to stand and read in responsive reading. If you have a King James Bible, that's what we use as our standard. Please read with us. If you don't have a King James, just listen to us, okay? Follow along in your Bible. Let's stand, please. Second Peter chapter 3. We're going to read the first 9 verses of the chapter. I'll read the first, you read the second, and so on. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance.
That ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the Holy Prophets, and of the commandments which were given.
Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water,
whereby the world that is in office, being overflowed with water, perish.
But the heavens and the earth which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the judgment, the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance.
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, we come to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, thanking you for so great a salvation. We give thanks for all of the mercies and all of the truth that you've shown us. I ask you to give me a freedom and ease to speak that only you can give. I pray that you will touch every heart and soul that's in the sound of my voice, and that you get the honor and glory from everything. Forgive us as we have failed you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Be seated. He says in verse 3 here, and I'm not going to deal a long time with this passage, but I did want to start here. Verse 3, knowing this first, there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where's the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were. And look at what he says in verse 5. For this they willingly are ignorant of. You know, back in Paul's day, Peter's day, Lord's day, I don't think there were many close to Noah that didn't believe in the flood. But there's a lot of people around that didn't believe. They don't believe the Bible. Just very simple. They think they're smarter than the Bible, and they think they know more than what the Bible can teach you. The truth of the matter is, if you were to read the Bible, then you'd be better than tomorrow's newspaper. You have closer, more up-to-date information. You know what you need in your heart, in your soul, you know. And when you read this book, it's going to convict you. It's going to bring you to the place you say, how did I get here? What do I do to get out of what I'm in? All of us have troubles. You're raising kids, you have troubles. You're married, you're got troubles. You're just two brothers living in the same house. You got troubles. Everybody's got troubles. Now, some of them are sickness, health. Some of them are family. Some of them are just our own personal demons. And maybe the things we were taught by our own folks and our family or our group or grown up with, whatever. Well, when I came to the Lord Jesus Christ, he decided to change a lot of things. A lot of things. Things that I grew up with. Things that I thought were okay. Things I thought were right. Well, they weren't right.
Right. Amen.
Well, what did I have? I have an authority. I have an authority. Praise God. I've got a book in my hands that I believe. Now, you don't have to believe it. In fact, that's what he's talking about here. Some people don't believe. Now, I don't have a problem. Every place I've ever been, the ground has been underwater. At some time. Way back in the past, maybe. I built a house 20 years ago out in the country, north of Burney. And I was digging a hole for a septic tank. And I got down about 8 feet. I needed to go down 10 feet. I got down 6 to 8 feet. And there was just like a slab of cement. Slab of cement. It was smooth. It's like somebody finished it off. I had to break it up with a backhoe and also then air hammers. Do you know what was in that? Fossils. Fossils galore. There were fossils everywhere. Every damn bit of that rock I broke up out of that ground down under the thing is full of fossils. Well, go up on the mountains. You're going to find the same thing. It says here, for this they willingly are ignorant of, that the word, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water, and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. They don't believe that. And there's something else they don't believe. Look at the next verse. The heavens and earth which are now by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. God destroyed the earth by water. He's going to destroy this present one by fire. Now, it says they're willingly ignorant. Willingly ignorant. How many times are you willingly ignorant? That's not just a few skeptics. Not just a few guys that don't believe the Bible. How many times do you know you're doing wrong?
Amen.
You know you shouldn't be living the way you're living. You know you shouldn't be thinking the way you're thinking. You know you should not be in the situation you're in, but you go ahead and do it anyway. I don't think a lot of our sins are happenstance. I don't think a lot of our problems are.
Amen.
They are willfully doing what we want to do and we know maybe is bad for us. Now, when I was a kid, I didn't think there was anything wrong with smoking. Everybody smoked in my family almost, except my mother. And I didn't think anything about it. I look out now and they have these poor ladies, maybe on TV, giving an ad and they're saying, I'm 54 years old, and they look like they're 80 years old, but I'm 54 years old, and I smoked, and smoking caused this, and then cancer from different things. Oh, there's all sorts of things like that. We do a lot of things we know is bad for us. You know, if you really want to be safe, you probably shouldn't go to bars on Saturday night, Friday night. Well, we hear about people getting shot. We hear about people being in a fight. We hear about some sort of big problem somewhere. Well, you got booze and guns and people with a wild imagination and a whole lot of pride. Maybe some willful sinfulness. Well, you're getting in a place where you're liable to get shot. The chances are you're not going to get shot in your own bedroom or your living room. But you go some places where some people are, and where they're doing things that they know they shouldn't be doing, and it's going to happen to some people. Really is. Now, it says they're willingly ignorant that the world was destroyed by God. In other words, God is going to bring judgment on this earth. It tells us about the previous judgment that God brought over the whole earth, and about the future judgment that God's going to bring over the whole earth. So anyway, it's a pretty scary passage. And one thing, look at verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. He's made a lot of promises. All of them haven't come true yet. But let me tell you what, they're going to. God keeps his word. Now some of us don't keep our word very well, but God keeps his word. And it doesn't matter if it waits a little time for it to come around. It's going to come around, and you can bank on it. He is not slack concerning his promise. How come it's been so long? How come the skeptics can say, well, everything's been going the same for all these years. Nothing's ever happened, so we don't have to worry about God now. Well, here's the answer. As some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance.
Amen.
If God waits, it's because he sent messengers and he wants more souls saved. If God has waited on you this long and you have not called upon him and not been saved, you're still sitting in rebellion when in your heart you know you should surrender yourself to the Lord. It's because God is merciful. And God's mercy was shown in my life 58 years ago. Praise God. That's a long time. I could think about the Lord would have come a long time before now. But he hasn't yet. Why? There's somebody needs to be saved. There's somebody needs to hear the word. There's some tribe that needs to be reached. There's some person that needs to repent and call upon the name of the Lord. Now, that's a beautiful thing.
Amen.
Look at another verse of scripture with me. Look in chapter 3 of Hebrews, verse 12. 12 and 13. Very interesting. Chapter 3, verse 12 of Hebrews. Take heed, brethren. Now, who's he talking to? He's talking to believers. He's talking to people that count him their Lord. He's talking to people that have a heritage as the Jewish people that preserved the Word of God for us. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. You say, well, I don't like preachers preaching. I don't like them picking on me. I don't like them whatever. Well, that's normal. Most kids don't want their parents telling them anything. You certainly don't want your friends telling you anything. Most husbands don't want their wives rebuking them. The wives don't want the husbands talking down to them. We're a very independent, stubborn people, aren't we? We really are. Even as God's children, are we the same way? He said, take heed, brethren. What do you need to worry about that your heart will get wrong? Heart's deceitful, desperately wicked. You can say, my heart's right. No, your heart's never right, probably.
Amen.
Take heed, brethren, what? That you would get a heart, an evil heart of unbelief. Can something happen to somebody as faithful as you, been saved like you, been walking with the Lord like you? Can you get yourself in trouble?
Yes.
Can the judgment of God come upon you? Can your family be destroyed? Can your church, can your nation be destroyed? It sure can. And so he gives us an example here, and he says it very clearly, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief by departing from the living God. I've been doing this a long time, 58 years, almost 59. I've seen some good Christians get shot down. I've seen some believers. I've seen some preachers. I had a preacher friend I went to college with. Man, the guy was talented as could be. He could preach circles, man. Last time I talked to him, he was drinking beer and having a fight with his second or third wife over her children. Really was sad. I called him up to say, hey, let's start a work. Invite you to come work with me. I'd come back from Guatemala. He never did get right. Could it happen to you? Has it happened to anybody else? Sure it has. Sure it has. All we got to do is walk down the street and knock on doors. Talk to people. There's some people out there that used to teach Sunday school. There are people out there on that block that used to preach the gospel. There are people that are there. They used to be right with God. They used to pray. They used to visit like you visit. What happened? Something got in their heart. An evil heart of unbelief. Something got in their heart. You better watch what you're doing. That's what he's saying. And he says, exhort one another daily. You know what he says? Exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Sin's deceitful. Sin looks just like pleasure. Only pleasure. Man, you're winning when you're sinning. That's the way you're thinking. That's the natural mind. Man, I'm winning. No, if you're sinning, you're not winning. Amen. You're losing.
Amen.
Everything God calls sin, He called it sin because it hurts you. You don't get away with anything. And if you can be coming to church and living a different life outside, well, God knows.
Amen.
God knows. You know, sometimes I think young people think they can get by with things. Well, the old folks do it too. Okay?
Right. Amen.
Think they can get by with things. Have you thought that God does not ever go to sleep? Did you know? God is never ignorant of what you're doing. He's not even ignorant of what you're thinking. He knows your heart and the reasoning of your heart when you're trying to justify getting yourself out of the will of God. Wow. It's a dangerous thing to mess with God. You see, most of the Bible, the Old Testament, is all about the Jewish people, which were the people of God, to bring the seed, the Lord Jesus Christ, and to preserve the words that He'd given them. The people be prepared for the coming of the Lord. And the prophecies we can look at right now and know they're still going to be fulfilled. God gave them. His word has not changed. They're going to come to pass. They haven't been superseded by the church. What He said about the Jews, He's still going to do with the Jews. The church, you're a new and living thing. You're indwelt by the Spirit of God. You've been given eternal life. You're going to be with God forever. What a wonderful thing. What a thing to be saved. I still love that prayer of Jacob when he's coming back to meet Esau. He's been so proud and he's been such a scoundrel and a schemer and a liar and a cheat. But he comes down before God and he says, "Oh God, I'm not worthy of all your mercies that you've given me and of all the truth that you've given me." We're not worthy of the truth we have.
Amen.
We have the Word of God in our hands and we've got the Old Testament and New Testament. He didn't have anything like that. Primitive man. And yet, we ignore it. We act as if it's not better than any other book. But it is. It really is. It'll give you more wisdom than your teachers, give you more wisdom than your government. Well, take heed, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief, and exhort one another daily. Talk about it. It's good to rebuke your brother sometimes. Did you know that? Oh, he'll get mad. They'll get mad. Anybody you rebuke a little bit, they're going to get mad. But what did he say? Exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened to the deceitfulness of sin. That's a warning to believers. That's a warning to the people of God. Look at Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7. This is one of the greatest verses. We ought to have it in our mind every day of our life. We ought to put it on the refrigerator, put it on the dashboard of the car or the mirror or someplace like that. It's such a great truth, and it's a truth every way, physically and spiritually. Galatians 6:7, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of his flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. You know what it's saying? It's just saying so clear. I kept a garden for years. Years. And finally, way out in the country, I had a 60-foot by 60-foot garden with an 8-foot fence to keep the deer out. I had a lot of fun. I loved my gardening. You know what I planted is what grew. I never planted watermelons and got corn. I never planted corn and got cantaloupe. I never planted beans and got onions. What a man sows, that shall he also reap. It's in everything physical that you and I look about. Well, how about spiritually? It's the same thing. You fill your mind with garbage. Garbage in, garbage out. Amen. Amen. You fill your mind with the Word of God, you might get some truth coming out of your mouth. You might be able to go to bed and sleep at night. He's saying what you're sowing, you're going to reap. Now, does the Bible give you any inkling that that's anyway not true? It's true physically, agriculturally, and it's true spiritually. It's true financially. Just, you can take that verse and lay it out. This is the way God set things up. Be not deceived. Don't kid yourself. And how many times do we kid ourselves? How many Christians do you know that have kidded themselves on this verse? I can sow to the flesh and I'm going to reap blessing. You think so? I don't think so. I don't think you can sow to the flesh and reap blessing. And I believe that's why God put it in the book. It ought to remind us over and over again. In fact, you could preach that thing every week and it'd be true for all of us. What a man sows, that shall he also reap. Now, when we look at it, are you going to sow to the flesh or are you going to sow to the Spirit? Now, always, the reaping comes after the sowing. And almost always, the reaping is more than the sowing. You plant 3 kernels of corn in the ground, you get a stalk with 3 ears of 1,100 kernels on each one of them. Wow! You get a whole lot more than what you started out with. Well, that's exactly what you're going to get in your mind. If you sow to the Spirit of God, you're going to get more than what you started out with. If you sow to sin and the flesh, you're going to get more than what you started out with. And that little bit, one night, one evening of pleasure may bring you years of heartache. Years of heartache. Because there's a principle. This whole world is built upon solid principles. And here is a principle that fits in every area of the world. Be not deceived. God's not made a fool of by anybody. Nobody's going to outthink God. Nobody's going to outlast God. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now, if you look in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 17. 1 Timothy chapter 1, starting at verse 17. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy. Do you know how much Paul thought of Timothy? Paul didn't have any son that we know of at all. But he called Timothy his son. Here was a boy that followed him and grew up under his ministry. And he gives one of the greatest compliments that can be given to any man. He said, I have no man like-minded who will just naturally care for your state. Wow. Do you have that sweet of spirit that you just naturally take care of other people's needs? No, most of us don't. That's an unusual man. Now, what's he tell Timothy here? Look at verse 18. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy. Look at verse 19. Holding faith and a good conscience. How are you going to live your life, Timothy? Timothy, hang on to faith. Hang on to believing what the Word of God says. And a good conscience. You know how good a good conscience is? It's a wonderful thing. It'll let you sleep at night. It'll let you be at peace with yourself and at peace with your family and at peace with God. How about you today? We're talking believers, brethren. You know what you need? You need faith. You need to believe the book. Faith in what these men saw. Faith in what they said. Been the greatest blessing of my life. I just believe the book. When he said Jesus Christ rose from the dead, I believe. When he said, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, I confessed my sins and I believed it. When he took the burden off of me and removed it as far as the east is from the west, that's a long way. It just keeps going. When he says he's buried my sins in the depths of the sea to be remembered against me no more, I believe it. What a load has been lifted. What a blessing has been given. And then I have to go with Jacob and pray his prayer. Lord, I'm not worthy of all the mercies and of all the truth that you've shown me. Wonderful. Wonderful. Holding faith and a good conscience. These things are valuable. And he's going to his son Timothy. He's writing a letter to him to help him out as he's pastoring this church at Ephesus. And he says, holding faith and a good conscience. And he mentions some brothers that had been shipwrecked. You don't know how much longer you're going to live. You may live to be an old man or an old woman. What will the rest of your life be? It'll depend on what you do with faith and a good conscience. You need to keep your heart clear with God. You need to keep short accounts. When you're in trouble, repent quickly. When God speaks to your heart, move on it. Move on it. Don't hesitate. Don't hold back. Don't say, oh, no, God, I don't want you controlling my life. I'm going to control my life. I'm the captain of my soul. Keep short accounts with God. Keep a good conscience. You know, I want to know how you can get rid of a lot of sin or besetting sins? Confess it often. Recognize it. Every time you see it, confess it. Keep that conscience clear. Do what you need to do. And I'm talking to believers, and all this word is talking to believers. You need to believe the book. You need to keep close accounts with God and keep your conscience clear. I'm going to take you way back into the Old Testament. Chapter 36 of 2 Chronicles. Turn there if you will. I'm going to give you a little verse later on down that you ought to mark. It's amazing. Zedekiah was set up over the throne of Israel by Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar took his dad, the other king, took him out of the way, carried a lot of people off to Babylon. He left Jeremiah. And Jeremiah preached, and they did not like the preaching of Jeremiah. He's called the weeping prophet. He did not have a successful ministry in the sense of being recognized and honored and lauded and applauded by the king and the people. No, they put him in a well, put him in jail. They did not listen to the word of God that came by Jeremiah. Now, Zedekiah was just 21 years old when he began to reign. And verse 12 says, he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord and humbled not himself before Jeremiah, the prophet, speaking from the mouth of the Lord. Look at verse 14. This is God's people, remember. All the chief priests and the people transgressed very much after all the abominations of the heathen and polluted the house of the Lord. Wow. The people who were supposed to be preaching righteousness, supposed to be giving the people the word of God, are living in sin. God's people are corrupt. It says in verse 15, the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by his messengers, rising up the times and sending, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. God's people have been caught up in sin. Their leaders are in sin. They don't have anybody to bring them back from their sin or to rebuke them. And they're in trouble. They've lost the war several times. A lot of people have been already hauled off. A lot of people have been killed. The young ladies have been raped and the young men have been slaughtered. This is God's people. But they've turned against God. Look at verse 16. God sent his messengers preaching his message, and Jeremiah was one of them. But they mocked the messengers of God, despised his words. Can you imagine? Misused his prophets. There's some of that going on right now.
Amen.
There's some of that going on right now. In a great, big, supposedly Christian country called America. Wow, what a privilege we've had. What blessings we've had. What abundance that we've had. What light and truth that we've had. Goodness gracious. We ought to be on our knees thanking God every day, but not happening. God sent his messengers because he had compassion on the people. But they mocked the messengers of God. I imagine that every time I preached over the last 58 years, some people walked out praising me and some people walked out mocking me. Some people had fried preacher before they got fried turkey. Despised his words. Wow. Misused his prophets. Man, we can look in the Bible and we've got example after example of the prophets of God being misused, abused, killed, stoned, thrown in jail. Good men have died that lived for God. They've been misused by the people of God. They mock the messengers of God, despise his words, misuse his prophets, until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people. You think, that can't happen. Well, it did. It did. And what I want you to mark in your Bible, till there was no remedy. What a statement. What a statement. Till there was no remedy. Do you understand that? You don't mess with God. Now, God is a merciful God. And God, when He sees you going, He sends you messengers. He sends you somebody to rebuke you. He sends somebody to bring your attention. He sends you somebody to try to get you to come back to Him. You're living in sin. You're living in a mess. You're not living according to my will. Come on back. Come on back. How do you treat the messengers of God? Well, you better be real careful. If it's a messenger of God, you're messing with the wrong fellow. He might not be strong. He might not be powerful. He might not be honorable. But God is. And if God sent the messenger, you better give Him credit. When we were starting this church, had a bunch of young preachers, and had some old folks. And sometimes those young preachers would get up and give the Word of God. And some of those old folks called me on the phone. You're going to let that young whippersnapper talk to us like that? I said, was what he said true? I don't care if he's 17. Was what he said true? Was what he said from the Bible? Are you going to rebuke him because he said, no, I'm not. I heard what he said, and you just have a problem taking it from a young person. If it's the Word of God by God's messenger, I don't care how old he is. Remember little Samuel? Eli had enough sense to accept Samuel's word. He knew God was moving in this boy. How about you? Will you accept the message? They didn't. And you know what they did? They abused and disrespected God and His word and His messengers until what? There was no remedy. Nebuchadnezzar comes back in and wipes the whole thing out and calls them all off. Wow. Where are you today? Is there still a remedy for your marriage? Is there still a remedy for your conscience? Is there still a remedy for your sinfulness? Is there still a remedy for your self-will? How far have you gone? Don't go this far. Today there's a remedy as far as I know.
Thank you, Lord.
God hadn't come back yet. The rapture hadn't taken place yet. I don't know who the Antichrist is. It could be he's probably alive, but I don't know him. Might be one of our presidents that's running for president. I don't know any of them. No remedy. You don't want to get there. You don't want to be at a place where God says there is no remedy for your sin. Today, according to what I read in this Bible, you can repent of your sin and God will forgive it.
Amen.
Today, you can repent of your sin and take Christ as your Savior, and God will save your soul, give you eternal life, take you to heaven with Him when you die.
Amen.
But you can go far enough that there's no remedy for you. Where are you? Where are you today? Are you saved? I hope so. If you're saved, are you right with God? Have you confessed your sin and asked God to forgive you? Have you humbled yourself before Him? Have you repented of all the things you've said and all the things you've done? Then why not do it before God comes to the place and He says, you have gone past the point of my remedy. Tremendous statement. The wrath of the Lord arose, and there was no remedy. All of them going to get carried off. They're all going to lose everything. All their stubborn sinfulness and foolishness, all they did was just bring it down upon them. Well, that's the same way for you. If God's convicted you of sin, confess it. If God's got you with a burden, get on your knees and ask God to forgive you. If you're here and you know you're lost, and if you died tonight, you'd go to hell, call on Christ and get saved. It's free. Paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. And He can give you salvation for eternity if you call upon Him. Have a broken and a contrite heart. Ask Him for salvation. You can't pay Him for it. Don't even try. It's a free gift, and it's a gift that costs so much, no way possible for you to do it. Let's stand and sing number 235. I believe where this word is preached, the Holy Spirit moves. Have you listened to Him? Has He talked to you? Do you have a burden? Do you have a need? Well, this altar's open. That's what these chairs are for down here. You can come down and pray. You can pray right where you are in your own seat. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He's near. Let Him have His way in your life. Let's sing it.